Kai called in her senior staff. Most attended on screen rather than take the time to shuttle to the flagship. She explained what she could about Ransom.
We need to figure out where he is on our charts and then decide how to move next. If we could hit Turek in a base he thinks is secure, even a glancing blow could knock out some of his fleet. Ransom's is the only on-site intel we've got.
Pitt pointed to a set of coordinates.
The latest report from our people says there's been his lingo here. It's just a blip in the stream for most traders. The only reason it was ever colonized was raw materials. It's only a 2-day FTL hop from Gingervin. Miners go over there and break off pieces. Finally, someone installed a station, 3 or 4 space-based processors, and they have a kind of back-of-the-hills trade for anyone who drops in. Rough bunch. Anyway, one of our people knows someone who knows someone, and they reported some odd transmissions.
Wouldn't they want a place with a relay Ansible?
No, they have their own. They don't need relay Ansibles. And if they're in an empty system or between systems far from an Ansible, less chance of being noticed. Did they actually come to this miner's place, Master Sergeant?
Word was somebody made a beer run, Admiral. But it's third hand.
I can't see Turek letting any of his people wander off just to find liquor. Surely he'd have his own set up if he allowed it.
It's a way to find out what rumors are floating around. Hang out in a bar and listen. The same way the Mackenzie informant did.
Well, we can't sit here waiting forever. We're stuffed with supplies. We've done the run-in tests. We could always use more training, but I don't expect Turek to wait for us to move, and we dare not wait for him. At the least, we need to be closer to his likely targets, and this is in the right direction.
From the sudden alertness in the room, Kai was sure that the others agreed.
Orders, Admiral?
Make up formations. Just what we've talked about. We'll head for the jump point, use the same vector as Ransom, 7 standard days in FTL, drop out and contact him. Maybe we'll get a better fix on location before we jump, but we have more extensive charts to use when we get there, even if not. Captain Yamini, I want you to be advanced scout. Precede formations to the jump point, extend your FTL to 7.25 standard days, and come in dead slow.
Yes, ma'am.
Yamini blanked his screen. Any questions? Fine.
I estimate we're 20 or more hours before the fleet's in formation on the right vector to the jump point. I'll have more detailed orders for down jump by 2 hours prior, so you can pass them to your formations. Let's go.
Kai set to work drafting orders to cover the possibilities she recognized. Turek's force within firing distance. Turek's force light hours or days away. Mines in the down jump destination. Everything she could think of. The same basic 5 or 6 formation assignments covered them all, thanks to the work she and her staff had done in the past 10 day. Shields up, weapons hot. Passive scans only on down jump. She handed the draft orders to Pitt and Stanley, a Moray officer.
Here. Nitpick. What did I forget?
What about micro-jumping the forward formations out 2 minutes? Your spacing's 5, right? That gives some margin of error.
With this many ships, and less training time than she'd have liked, best leave more room for the inevitable errors.
Good point. But into a pincer formation gives us more options, whatever we find.
Admiral Vada, we have a location.
The navigation officer was grinning. With a touch, he highlighted a region.
It's on a map route, but not a green one. It's yellow due to flux disturbances near a pulsar here. In fact, there are map jump points all through this area, but no green routes. An open cluster here, a pulsar there. Really more trouble to commercial vessels than ours, but it's a wonder Captain Ransom didn't run into something. Turek's force is here. Map jump point PRTB-1512 in the current Pritchard Robarts Atlas.
Kai transmitted the navigation data and her orders to the rest of the fleet and watched as the ships edged into formation. Squadrons, combining the new heavy cruisers from Moray, the Cascadian and Moray warships, the privateers, the support ships, supply, minesweepers, all moving to her plan. It had better be the right plan. The wraiths of her dead rose around her for a moment, reminding her of mistakes made, deaths she had not prevented, and then her implant intervened. She would do her best. She had taken the best advice she could get. What happened would happen. Kai left her office and began a walk through the ship after notifying her flag captain. Hugh would have known her routine, known she walked the ship daily, and they had their understanding of his limits and hers. This new Vanguard had become more familiar with every passing day, but it was not the old Vanguard, and Captain McKay was not Hugh. Its crew was a mix of Slaughter Key, Moray, and Cascadia citizens, all new to her. She had them all in her implant now, knew the cooks in the galley, a space as large as the largest crew compartment had been in the old Vanguard, and the moles in Environmental, as well as the weapons crews and the engineers. The ship smelled right, its original sharp odor from outgassing of new synthetics, now mellowed by filters and hydroponics. Chemical sensors along the bulkheads checked constantly for toxic vapors, but Kai knew the human nose made a good early warning for some things. The ship sounded right, too. The barely heard vibrations were those of good adjustment. Nothing was phasing in and out. The voices in compartments she passed had the right timbre, even if the accents were different. Crews were excited, eager, but not anxious. The day before, she had walked the port side first. Today, she started at the starboard bow. This Vanguard mounted multiple beams along the long axis. The massive supports and heat-radiating structures crowded the center of the ship on the weapons deck, narrowing both lateral passages. Kai reached out and ran a finger along the red stripe, the red Turek had ordered, and which she had not bothered to change. The deck gleamed under the overhead light bars. The bulkhead itself, matte finished except for the stripe, curved gently toward the bow. At the starboard forward missile battery, Kai looked in. Chief McIntosh of Moray was drilling a team on fusing options. One of them spotted her and leapt to his feet.
Admiral on deck.
At ease. Despite the obvious advantages to having uniforms that were uniform, only the officers had acquired Space Defense Force uniforms. Chief McIntosh, in a dark tan shirt and slacks tucked into brown ship boots, had a tartan armband with four black stripes angling across it. The team he was drilling included two in Moscow Confederation green and three in Slaughter Key blue.
So, Chief, how's it going?
Fine, ma'am. Crews are meshing well. Never thought I'd get to serve on a ship like this, you know.
Nor I. I thought Slaughter Key cruisers were big back when I was in the Academy, but this thing's twice that size at least. I can spend more than a shift going from compartment to compartment and not see them all.
That's right, ma'am. We're one of the few places that can build in this size.
Well, carry on, Chief. I'd better keep moving. Admirals are supposed to spread their interruptions around.
Kai moved aft, pausing in each of the weapons bays to speak to its crews, all busy with something.